Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So on Jesus' last night with his disciples, he washed their feet, and Peter objected. We know that. But what we don't know is how Peter said his objection. Right, all we have are the words on the page. Like reading an email or a text message from someone, sometimes things are lost when you can't hear how the words are said. There are all kinds of ways that Peter could have delivered this line, and each one of them affects how we hear this interaction and how we see ourselves in the story. So, for example, the first way he could have said it was with an emphasis on the word you. You will never wash my feet. Peter, like the other disciples, knew what foot washing was about. It was a common practice back in the time. When somebody came to your house, their feet would be dirty and gross from the journey. So you would have your slave wash their feet. Or if you couldn't afford a slave, then you as the host would have to do it yourself. It was a necessary but demeaning job. Today, probably the closest we would come to it would be wiping somebody else's butt. And I'm not talking babies and diapers, I'm talking about people who are older than that. Right? Yes, there are people in the medical profession who do this as part of their job, but this is a task most people try to avoid. Plus, it also demands that the person who needs help be vulnerable to the one who's giving the help. I mean, how many of you would want somebody else to wipe your butt for you? I know it's kind of gross, but that's the point, right? That's kind of how foot washing was viewed back in the day. It was something intimate, dirty, vulnerable, necessary, required of some, and avoided by many. But on their last night together, though, Jesus willingly takes on that role. He dresses for the part by taking off his outer garment and tying the towel around himself. And then he moves from person to person to wash their feet. So this had to be a really awkward moment for the disciples, seeing Jesus like this. So I can imagine Peter saying, "You will never wash my feet." In other words, you, Jesus, should not be doing this. Get up off the floor. You don't belong down there. If somebody's going to wash our feet, it should be a slave, not you. You are much too important for that. So Peter is showing Jesus great respect by saying that he doesn't think Jesus should be in that position. Which is fine, right? Peter clearly loves Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus to be doing this dirty job. Today, though, I think it's different. Although many people say they follow Jesus, I wonder if people respect him like that. Like, we live in a very self-centered world. We focus on privilege and status, instant gratification and entitlement. We focus on making my life better, even if it means making somebody else's life worse. And some people even think this way with Jesus. They think Jesus is here to serve them. Rather than devoting themselves to a life of self-sacrifice as his disciples, they think Jesus is here to make their life better. Maybe they think Jesus should give them a return on their investment for following him. And if that means Jesus is the one who will metaphorically wipe their butts, then fine. If he's the one who has to suffer and die on the cross for them, then whatever. At least somebody does. They treat Jesus like a spiritual slave. Or like a butler who's supposed to bring all these wonderful blessings to them on a silver platter. Basically, they take advantage of him. I mean, in the same sort of way, think about people who serve you, but you don't even know their names. Garbage collectors, drive-thru workers, waiters and waitresses, and so many more. We take advantage of people all the time. We don't care who they are or how they feel. We just want them to serve us. Go get this thing for me. Do this task for me. Make my life easier. Peter, though, had great respect for Jesus. He thought Jesus should not be washing people's feet. He thought Jesus was too important to be doing that. Today, though, I wonder if most people care. So long as their feet get washed, they don't care who does the slave shop, even if it is Jesus. A second way to hear Peter's line is with an emphasis on the word my. You will never wash my feet. With this emphasis, Peter might have been saying that he didn't need Jesus to wash his feet. Sure, Peter knew that everybody else in the room might need it. It was a foot washing, after all. But maybe he thought he didn't need it. He didn't want to participate in this. Today, sometimes people think this way too. They look around and they see so many other people in the world who are clearly making wrong choices. They see people who do a lot of stupid stuff. They see people whose lives are a mess. And then they look at themselves and they think, yeah, I'm not so bad. I don't go around doing all that horrible stuff. Yeah, I make mistakes every now and then. I'm not perfect. I'll admit to that. But I don't go out and waste my life. I don't commit crimes or hurt other people. Those are the ones who really need Jesus to wash them. I'm a good person. But honestly, that person needs Jesus just as much as everybody else, even if they won't admit. Maybe Peter objected to Jesus washing his feet because he didn't think he needed it. Of course, he changed his mind later, but in that first moment, maybe he thought, nah, Jesus, I'm good. You don't need to wash me. The third way to hear Peter's line is with an emphasis on the word feet. You will never wash my feet. With this emphasis, Peter's saying that Jesus can wash everything else about him except his feet. I mean, yes, Peter knew it was a foot washing. He knew that this was an intimate, but dirty and vulnerable and necessary thing, but he didn't want Jesus to get too close to him. He might have let Jesus wash his face or his hands, but not his feet. It's almost like Peter is saying that this one part of him was off limits to Jesus. And I think a lot of people can relate to that too. In our world, there's so much talk about privacy, especially online. We don't want some random person to know all these intimate details about our lives. Well, sure, we know that there's some information about us that's publicly available, like what's listed on your driver's license, but we don't want somebody to know so much that they can steal our identity. And many people have aspects of their lives that they just don't share with even those who are closest to them. Maybe it's something from their past that becomes a secret that they take to the grave. Maybe it's their browsing history, because they'd be embarrassed if other people saw what they were searching for. Maybe it's some aspect of their own personality that they keep hidden away in a closet because they don't trust the people around them to accept them. When it comes to Jesus, maybe there are parts of our lives that we're not comfortable showing to him. We're okay with him seeing us worshiping or serving our neighbor. We're okay with him hearing our prayers or seeing us read scripture, all this typical religious type stuff. But maybe we're not okay with him seeing other parts of our lives. Maybe we don't want him to see how we actually treat people. Maybe we don't want him to see how we're hypocrites. Maybe we don't want him to see those sins of which we're ashamed. Jesus can see the nice, pretty Sunday morning or Holy Week side of us, but we don't want him to see the secret, dark parts of us. Maybe that's where Peter was. Jesus could see the parts that Peter wanted him to see, but not his feet. That was getting too close. So clearly, Peter could have delivered his line in any number of ways. Maybe he didn't want Jesus, of all people, to wash his feet. Maybe he was okay with Jesus washing other people, but not him. Maybe he was okay with Jesus washing other parts of him, but not his feet. But whatever the case, Jesus still came to Peter, and he still washed him. Even though Peter objected at first, and even though Peter misunderstood afterwards, Jesus still did it. Which means, even when we object, even when we misunderstand, even when we don't get what Jesus is doing, he still washes us clean. Jesus washes you clean. He takes all your sins and secrets and shame and washes them away, like in the waters of baptism. There is nothing about your life that you can hide from Jesus. All the pretty things, all the ugly things, he knows them all, and he still loves you. He wipes them all away. He gets rid of your shame. He eliminates your sin. He removes the power of your secrets, and he says that he will always love you. As you heard at the start of worship tonight, in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins. You have been washed clean by Jesus. Your sins are gone. Let that promise wash over you like cool, refreshing water. And along with receiving that amazing washing, Jesus calls us to share that same love with others. Right? This life-giving love of Jesus is not something we can keep to ourselves. It is something we can't help but share with others. By doing that intimate thing of serving them and forgiving them.
as Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them." Jesus calls us to show this same love to others because we know how it changes lives. I mean, there are plenty of people in this world who think that their stains are too bad, that their sins are too great, that their secrets are too horrible for Jesus to love them. But they're not. Or maybe they think that they don't need Jesus in their lives like other people do. But they do. And they need us to tell them that Jesus loves them, forgives them, and washes them clean too. Remember, Jesus washed the feet of Peter and Judas and everybody else in the room. And Jesus washes you and me and everybody else in the world today, too. And no matter how you say it, that's always good news. In the name of this one who shows us amazing love, Jesus Christ our Lord.